This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today is Pastor Larry Cass from the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Leading us in our pledge is Paige Ian Hafner from Rapid City.
Let us pray. Oh God, in this time of financial stress and this time when everybody needs to work together, we pray that you will be with each member, that they will work together to find the best solution for each problem that comes up. Oh Lord, be with us through this time. We know that you are the center of these problems and can help us through them. Be with us, guide us, and direct us. In the Lord's name we pray.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll, please.
Blake, Boland, Boomgarden, Bruner, Bird, Carson, Cronin, Curd, Cutler, Diedrich, Dennett, Dreyer, Elliott, Engels, Fain, Fargen, Feichert, Feinstein, Ferricks, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hamill, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironcloud, Jensen, Junkie, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Kopp, Krebs, Lang, Lederman, Lucas, Les, McLaughlin, Mosier, Noam, Norstrup, Nygaard, Betty Olson, Ryan Olson, Peters, Pitts, Putnam, Roush, Rompkin, Arounds, Russell, Schleckaway, Schramm, Sly, Solberg, Solem, Sorensen, Steele, Street, Thompson, Tiedemann, Turboville, Van Gerpen, Vander Lindy, Vanneman, Vershio, Wink, Wismer, Speaker, Rave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the ninth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Timothy A. Rave, Chair.
All those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bills 1052 and 1053 do pass, House Bill 1051 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Thomas J. Bruner, Chair. The Committee on Retirement Laws respectfully reports that House Bills 1013 and 1014 do pass. Tim Rounds, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that House Bill 1092 do pass and House Bills 1041 and 1042 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Carol A. Pitts, Chair. And the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1108 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. And House Bill 1109 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mark Kirkaby, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit here with Senate Bills 5, 8, 39, 42, 53, 54, 55, 59, 65, and 71, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Lederman moves that House Concurrent Resolution 1003 be adopted. Second.
Question being on Representative Lederman's motion that HCR 1003 be adopted. Are there any remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you to the co-sponsors of Resolution 1003. Of 105 legislators, 100 have signed on this resolution that expresses our solidarity with the State of Israel and its right to defend itself against terrorism in the Gaza Strip. Throughout the process of collecting signatures, many of you have shared your personal stories and views of the Jewish state, and I have been moved by these conversations and thank all of you for sharing with me. Since the Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, thousands of rockets have been fired on innocent people, hospitals, and schools in an effort to terrorize the people of Israel and cause the maximum amount of civilian death and casualties possible. This resolution shows our support for the State of Israel. It expresses our solidarity with Israel and its defense against terrorism by those who publicly declare their intent to destroy Israel. As Americans, we must show our unwavering support for our ally in the Middle East. The attacks carried out by Hamas, funded by Iran, cannot be tolerated. We must stand by the free people of Israel. I stand in defense of Israel and ask for your support to House Resolution 1003, a bipartisan effort to support Israel and her right to self-defense. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on HCR 1003. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I am speaking to you today not to attempt to influence your vote, but to have on record why I'm not supporting this resolution. I have been to Israel. I appreciated the opportunity to stay with Jewish families in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and with a Christian Arab family in Nazareth. I appreciated being escorted by two Israeli soldiers with Uzi machine guns to the Jordan River to see the site where Jesus was baptized. Their guns were loaded and ready to fire because there had been a killing the day before, 1 mile upstream at the Allenby Bridge. And I appreciate Israel's right to defend itself, just as I appreciate the right of all nations to defend themselves. But I cannot endorse what I see as excessive force in the invasion of Gaza. Therefore, I cannot support this resolution. But I appreciate that Israel is a superb democratic nation, and my no vote is an endorsement of that fact. For democracies tolerate dissent, they encourage dissent, and they value dissent. I am willing to bet that in the official discussions in Israel about the invading of Gaza, that there was more dissent than there will be in this chamber today. I thank the sponsors of this resolution, and I thank all of you for allowing me to voice my dissenting opinion, for all of us want everlasting peace. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks. Representative Kopp. Is your microphone on, sir?
Hit the wrong button.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to support my fellow Jew over here. Not that I'm a Jew, but I support what he is saying in support of Israel. Israel is our only friend in the Middle East. And if we were attacked on a daily basis, as they are, or as they have been with rockets, then certainly we would have the right to respond. And I don't agree with the individual that just spoke from the standpoint that I don't believe that Israel's response was hard enough. And so with that, I will support proudly this endorsement. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks. Representative Killer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am not supporting this, and I want to say thank you to Representative Lederman for including me on this bill and including me in the process and trying to get me to support it. I'm humbled by that, because of all the issues going on with Native American history, and you look back to when one of the first instances of when some of the military came over and they gave Native Americans smallpox blankets. That's, that was a sign of the hostility that some people had towards Native communities and their intent to kind of control them militarily. And I look back with that perspective, especially being Native American and signing these kind of resolutions and initiatives like that, that I take that, and I do have friends who are Jewish, and I do have friends who are Palestinian, I do have friends from the Middle East, and I think that one of the things that we really need to examine is our own conditions, especially here in South Dakota, and with Native communities being, we have 7 of the top 10 poorest counties in the United States, and that's something that we really need to work on and address, and it's a result of that attitude that the United States had towards Native communities in the 1800s, 1700s, and 1600s, that military attitude. And you can kind of see that doesn't do nothing. But I do believe that Israel does have the right to defend itself. And, they need to, they need to do what they can to defend themselves, much like Native Americans did to defend themselves. So with that, again, I want to thank Mr. Representative Lederman and all the sponsors of this bill. And with that, I just want to put on record why I did this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on HCR 1003. Representative Van Gerpen.
Ladies and gentlemen of the body, I would encourage you to vote in favor of this resolution. As a family, we've had the opportunity to have in our home an exchange student from Israel. That gave us an opportunity to learn how they see things in their homeland, and it was very informative. There's a verse that comes to my mind as we're discussing this that says that God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. And I think it's important for us to remember that. But I also ask you to remember or think about it this way. What if in this hour rockets were being tossed into our state from Canada? If that were to happen, I'm sure that we would all be appealing to the government of our country to retaliate and to go in and to try to destroy, try to capture those targets that were shooting those rockets. I think this is what Israel was doing as they went down into the Gaza Strip, was trying to capture and destroy some of those offensive weapons that were being fired into their homeland. So I encourage your support of this resolution.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen. And I, too, would encourage you to do the same thing. And as my running mate from District 19 has made it perfectly clear to you, just picture yourselves being under fire by someone on your border and not having the opportunity to retaliate, and further having all of the other surrounding communities saying the same thing. This just isn't right. Those of us who have served the United States of America in the armed forces, and I'm talking about the veterans and not only men and women that are on this floor, but also the veterans that are in our audience today, know what it's like to be shot at. This is an opportunity with just words in a resolution. We're not angry. We're not shooting. We're saying in words, look this over carefully, and that's what the resolution is all about, and I would hope that more could support it if they would. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on HCR 1003. Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also co-sponsored this this measure with my good friend, Representative Lederman. And I want to say that this is a truly bipartisan effort. As our President Barack Obama stated, quote, if rockets were being fired into my house where my daughters sleep, I would do everything I can to make it stop. I expect Israel to do the same. If this was just happening in our country, we couldn't ignore thousands of rockets fired by an enemy if they were trying to obliterate us. When Israel withdrew from Gaza in 2005, Hamas could have used that exercise by Israel as support to support its humanitarian efforts with their civilians instead. But what did they do? They fired over 6,500 rockets at the civilian sites in Israel, 3,000 in 2008 alone. The legitimacy of Israel's and their operations underscored by the intent of Hamas. And when Israel goes in, they target civilians. I'm sorry, when Hamas targets civilians consistently, and Israel uses all due efforts to only hit military targets. I say this not to promote an argument. I say this just to show that what we need over in that region of the country is a lasting peace. As my friend Representative Thompson said, we need a lasting peace over there regardless. I urge you to support this measure, and I thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. Hamas engages in what renowned legal scholar Alan Dershowitz calls the cynical double war crime strategy of targeting Israeli children and hiding behind Palestinian children. We should support HCR 1003.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on HCR 1003. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I, too, would urge you to support 1003. We have history upon history that shows that this nation aligns itself with other nations when those nations share common beliefs about rights and principles in life. And we certainly share that with the nation of Israel. You know, but I'm also equally proud of this debate. And I'm not even going to call it a debate in the sense that we're all sharing our opinions. And I think that speaks well for the state of South Dakota and for this citizens' legislature. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, HCR 1003. Any further remarks? Representative Ironcloud.
I'd like to say good afternoon to all the listeners out there and the guests here in the Capitol and fellow public servants. I too would like to stand in opposition of this resolution, not because of I do not. First of all, I'd like to say that I think any country that is being attacked has the right to defend itself. And I'd like to echo what my fellow colleague, Kola Musu, representative, has just now said. We experience that. And if you talk about women and children, we lost 50 million natives, indigenous people on this continent. And war is not the answer, and to attack is violence is not. So that's basically what I'm standing against. Violence and the innocent people dying on both sides, children, you know. And that's why I oppose that, and I really am glad, you know, to be here today. I also believe it's a beautiful thing to have freedom, to be able to speak your mind and your peace and say what you believe, because that's what this America and this that's the foundation of this country, and to be able to that's our right. But you know, I too, you know, I'm not speaking against Israelis. Not saying that they should not be able to defend themselves. I'm saying that that it's their right, but also violence is not the way. And I also like to echo a constituent. As I went home, I shared the different bills and resolutions that were happening, and one of the constituents was somewhat upset about this and said that he felt that it was more of a federal level from a nation to nation, and it was not a state place to do that. So I just wanted to, you know, share that, what he said, and I'm not going to agree with him or disagree with him. That's his words. But I just want to say that I will be voting opposing this resolution, and I gave my reasons, and I hope you accept them, and if you don't, that's fine, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks, HCR 1003. Any further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question being on Representative Lederman's motion that HCR 1003 be adopted. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. I'm going to go first. I see the gallery is full of red. And I suspect since they're all dressed alike, they might be part of a group. I'd like to welcome all members of the AARP that are here visiting us today. Thank you for coming up to your state capitol today. Thank you all for coming today.
Representative Lest. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 66, nays 4.
HCR 1003, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared adopted. Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of all of the alumni in the room, I want to formally thank the University of South Dakota for spending the day with us, for these wonderful ties, And I also want to take this opportunity to point out and congratulate my very good friend, the Honorable Representative Mitch Fargin, on his first of what I know will be many Dome Dog experiences. Congratulations. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd also like to welcome the Executive Board of the South Dakota Veterinary Medical Association. Are you folks up in the gallery? Over here, up to my right, up above here, welcome. Thanks for coming out today. And on behalf of Representatives Greenfield and Noam, the Willow Lake Senior Government and Junior History classes and their teachers, Mrs. Thorson and Mrs. Poppin, are you folks up here? Stand up if you're with the Willow Lake. Stand up. There they are. And someone also mentioned that one of our pages, Jennifer Knock, is with Willow Lake. Is Jennifer, where are you at? Stand up. There's Jennifer. Representative Dennert.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like the members of the House to welcome the Farmers Union members from across the state that it's Farmers Union Day today. Their current president is Doug Sopke, and a former president and member of this body, Ben Radcliffe, is in the audience, and I'd like you to welcome them. Thank you.
You bet. Welcome. Thank you. I also need Vermilion Day at the Capitol today. So we need to thank, on behalf of Representatives Boomgarten and Nygaard, the Vermilion Chamber and Development Company, Leadership Vermilion, City of Vermilion, and the Vermilion High School Advanced History Class. All the Vermilion folks, stand up so we can recognize you. Here we are, up over here. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Say, we have another illustrious guest today. There she is. Representative Joyce Hodges served in this legislature for many years from Lake Preston, South Dakota. Now she lives in Brookings, a great leader in the environment and many other rural issues. Welcome to Joyce Hodges.
Outstanding. Welcome. Representative Vanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege, please.
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you. It's my pleasure today to introduce the doctor of the day from Winner, Dr. Enora Henderson. Dr. Enora Henderson received her undergraduate degree from Mount Marty College in Yankton, South Dakota. She attended the University of South Dakota School of Medicine, where she received her medical degree in the year 2000. She completed her residency through the Siouxland Medical Education Foundation in Sioux City, Iowa. She is board certified with the American Academy of Family Practice. Dr. Henderson is one of the physicians from the Family Practice Associates in Winter. In addition to her medical practice in Winter, Dr. Henderson provides medical care at the Rural Health Clinic in Mission and White River on a weekly basis. Please join me in giving the doctor of the day, Dr. Enora Henderson, a warm welcome. Thank you.
Welcome, Doctor. Thanks for coming and taking care of us today. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to introduce to you a former member of this body. She served here in the 80s for 8 years. She ran for Lieutenant Governor in 1990 with Bob Sanderson. She is still a leader in senior issues. She's a columnist for the Argus Leader. Shirley Helene, would you like to stand up? Welcome.
Welcome, Shirley. Welcome back, Shirley. Thanks for coming. Okay. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Fain moves that the report of the Standing Committees on Judiciary on House Bill 1082 and Commerce on House Bill 1059 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. First reading of House bills. Looks like we got a few today, Karen. Ladies and gentlemen in the gallery, what you're going to hear are these ladies down in front talking over top of each other. What they're doing is reading the titles to all of the bills that have been introduced. They have to, according to our Constitution, be read open in an open session. In this day and age of Internet, you can go look them up at any time you want to. And so as an efficiency measure, they read over top of each other so we get done faster and get back to work.
House Bill 1132, an act to prohibit the charging of admission to the Cultural Heritage Center. House Bill 1133, an act to authorize certain specialty license plates to be placed on motorcycles. House Bill 1134, an act to require notice of the cost of certain publications.
All right. The Speaker assigns House Bill 1129 to Ag, 1132 Appropriations, 1131 to Tax, 1132 to State Affairs, 1133 to Transportation, 1134, 1135, and 1136 are all going to local government, 1137 going to State Affairs, 1138 Judiciary, 1139 Local Government, 1140 Transportation. 1141 Ag, 1142 Appropriations, 1143 Commerce, 1144 Judiciary, 1145 Local Government, 1146, 1147 going to Judiciary, 1148 Local Government, 1149 Education, 1150 Commerce, 1151 Local Government, 1152 Commerce. First reading of Senate bills. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5, an act to revise the form and style of certain provisions and to delete certain obsolete provisions regarding the Department of Tourism and State Development. Senate Bill 8, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the promulgation of rules to set various licensing and other fees for certain professions and occupations. Senate Bill 39, an act to make an appropriation to the Department of Education to reimburse certain school districts for consolidation incentives and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 54, an act to revise how certain rates are determined for grain warehouse operators.
The Speaker assigns Senate Bill 5 to State Affairs, Senate Bill 8 to Commerce, Senate Bill 39 to Appropriations, Senate Bill 42 to Tax, Senate Bill 53 and 54 and 55 are going to Ag, Senate Bill 59 to State Affairs, Senate Bill 65 to Judiciary, and Senate Bill 71 to Judiciary. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1057 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1057, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm bringing you the House Bill 1057 on the part of the from the Department of Labor. This bill deals with a specific payment amount under the work comp statutes, and it involves an increase from $5,000 to $7,500 for a death benefit. Back in 1996, this amount was last raised up to $5,000, and so it's been about 12 years later. During that time, the cost of funeral expenses have dramatically increased. So for this reason, it is the position of the Department of Labor and the industry also included that we should raise the amount, the standard amount for the death benefit to $7,500 for funeral expenses. There was some question in committee about the fact that this price or this allowance was raised up. Will we see the funeral directors, the funeral homes raising their prices up also just because of this increase? That didn't happen back in 1996 when it was raised. Plus, it is a Class 1 misdemeanor if they're caught doing it. So we do have safeguards into place. The industry supported this. The Department of Labor supporting it. Our committee supported it 13-0, so I'm asking you to support this bill. Please pass House Bill 1057. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1057. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1057. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Speaker's ruling simple majority on this bill. As it is private entitlement, there is not an appropriation. Simple majority.
Representative Lederman. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1057, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1043, an act to make an appropriation to reimburse certain family physicians and dentists who have complied with the requirements of the Physician Tuition Reimbursement Program or the Dental Tuition Reimbursement Program.
House Bill 1043, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Peters.
Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker.
Good afternoon.
Well, House Bill 1043 is an act to make an appropriation to reimburse certain family physicians and dentists who have complied with the requirements of the Physician Tuition Reimbursement Program or the Dental Tuition Reimbursement Program. These two programs were established to help eligible communities recruit physicians and dentists to practice in their communities. Participants in this program agree to practice in their community for 3 years, and at the end of their commitment, they will receive reimbursement for their tuition payment. The payment is split between the sponsoring community and the state. This bill appropriates $145,938 to the Department of Health to reimburse one family physician and one dentist who will be fulfilling their requirements of their agreements with this state. This bill specifies that any money not expended will revert to the state general fund, and I would really appreciate your support for House Bill 1043.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1043. Hearing no further remarks, the question before South Dakota House of Representatives, final consideration of House Bill 1043. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is two-thirds on the appropriation. Two-thirds. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1043, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none. Title is deemed approved.
House Bill 1081, an act to make an appropriation to defray operation costs of the 24/7 sobriety program.
House Bill 1081, having had a second reading for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, House Bill 1081 is an act to appropriate defraying costs operation the 24/7 sobriety program. The Attorney General's 24/7 program is incredibly successful and is recognized throughout the country as one of the premier law enforcement programs. The 24/7 program is designed to keep people sober and at home working, lowering the cost to the county and state government. This program is a two-part program. One is a breathalyzer test. It's twice a day. Fail it, you go back to jail. The other program is the ankle bracelet program. You're monitored with an ankle bracelet. The bracelet's then downloaded over the telephone, which time it's fed back to law enforcement. The request for this appropriations monies comes out of the law enforcement training fund. There is no general funds attached to these, no dollars from the general fund whatsoever. The amount, the $116,000 to purchase additional alcohol monitoring bracelets, downloading devices, and new technology so the 24/7 program could continue. I'd appreciate your positive vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1081. Representative Sorensen.
Thank you for the new equipment at my desk. I too want to support this bill, and for the people who are in the gallery, when money is short, you might wonder why we're spending money. This program saves money. If you've been reading the Argus Leader of the last couple of days, there's a wonderful wonderful story in there how this is saving us dollars. So we are aware of how we spend your dollars. This program is money well spent, and it saves us money. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks? Representative Ironcloud.
Thank you very much. I just like to stand in support of this also, and I just want to commend the individuals or people that implemented this, and I feel it's a really innovative and being creative, and I think at this time that's what we really need to do is when dealing with issues that we come across, you know, dealing with people issues and money issues, that we've got to be really creative and innovative to be able to deal with these problems the best way we can. So I just wanted to stand in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks, House Bill 1081. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to ask for your support on this. I live in a county that has participated in the Attorney General's program now, and as a former county commissioner, I had an opportunity to listen for periodic updates from the sheriff and the state's attorney's office. They both really feel this is a very successful program, and it really creates a win-win situation. It allows the individuals involved to stay at home, go to work, be with their families, and it also has been pointed out saves money for the counties. So I would ask for your support in this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks, House Bill 1081. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1081. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Two-thirds on this, ladies and gentlemen, on the appropriation. Two-thirds. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 70.
House Bill 1081, having received a two-thirds majority vote, the members-elect is hereby declared passed. Questions on title? Hearing none, title deemed approved.
House Bill 1069, an act to increase certain fees charged by the Office of the Secretary of State.
House Bill 1069, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. House Bill 1069 was brought to appropriations by Bureau of Finance and Management that really addresses fee increases within the Secretary of State's office. These fee increases have been done periodically. 1997, there was a fee increase. 2003, there was a fee increase. And it's being proposed in 2009. So you can see about every 6 years, there's a proposed fee increase. These fee increases were based not only in the consumer price index, but also looking at standardizing those increases and comparing it to our surrounding states. Not every fee increase is going to be lower in South Dakota or higher in North Dakota, but they vary across all of the fee increases that are going to be proposed. The majority of these fees have not been changed or updated since 2003. There were some that goes back to 2000. The fee increases would generate on a net benefit of $1,070,277 that would go into the general fund. This, again, would help offset the deficit that we're currently in. And I urge your support for House Bill 1069.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1069. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wow, it's the 10th legislative day, and this is a big tax bill already. I don't know about you, but I really didn't come out here just to start raising taxes, especially on the 10th legislative day. We think we have a difficult here in the state legislature. Think of, and I know you do, think of all the people out around our state who are also facing difficulties in their own lives, whether they run a small business, a farm, or a ranch, or whether they're retirees, wondering where their pensions are going. I mean, it's tough all over. That's why we're having a tough time, because people back home are having a tough time and the revenues are starting to slow down. Now, here in this legislature, we're seeing all sorts of suggested tax increases, fee increases, tax increases, property tax increases, sales tax increases, some cuts that really aren't cuts, but they're going to be shifts back to local governments, libraries, who knows what, counties, schools, cities. If it's a shift and they have to raise fees, we cause tax increases on the local level. My message would be this: let's just not panic. Let's take a deep breath and see where things are going. There's a lot of uncertainties yet. We're in our 10th legislative day. We've got 30 days to go, 6 or 7 weeks. We don't know where Washington's going to come down. We just don't know yet, but we're hearing some reports that there may be some help coming from Washington, whether we want to accept help from Washington or not. We don't know exactly where the revenue projections are going to go. It's likely we're going to have to do some revenue increases, and we've proposed some on our side, and you've proposed some, and hopefully we can find some agreements. We may have to do revenue increases. We may need this bill. First, before we start raising taxes on the hardworking, suffering people of South Dakota, let's see if we can come together, find some efficiencies, some real efficiencies. Let's see if we can find some responsible cuts that don't just shift the burden, the responsibilities back home to the people. Let's watch where our revenues go, and let's just work together in a bipartisan spirit to keep taxes down as much as we can, keep fees down as much as we can, try not to shift that pain back home to the people of South Dakota. You may say this is just $25 here, $50 there, but added on to property tax, possible property tax increases, sales tax increases, other fee increases, energy costs that may have risen for the folks back home, this isn't the time to add to their burden. So I'd suggest, at least on this day, that we oppose House Bill 1069. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1069. Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would encourage the body to support House Bill 1069, and in many ways I want to echo the remarks just made by my counterpart across the aisle. This is early in the session. This is an important year, not only for this budget, but for the ongoing budget and for the ongoing fiscal success of the state of South Dakota. We are very early. We have already been presented with a large amounts of what could be some very serious and painful cuts. And how do we know at this point in the game that the modest fee increases that we're looking at in House Bill 1069 would not be less painful to our general public than some of the cuts that we're about to consider making over the next few weeks? I think when we're all said and done, a lot of folks may look back and say, you know, an increase here, an increase there, that are imposed just on the people who use these services, not an across-the-board tax increase, are maybe less painful. There's going to be a day of reckoning coming later in this session where we're going to look at some of these fee increases, or excuse me, some of the fee and tax exemptions that we're talking about now. But there's also going to be a day of reckoning when we're going to have to look at some serious cuts that the governor has already suggested, and there may be more. As was just mentioned, we may not have heard the last estimate, the last revenue estimate that we're going to get before we leave here. It could be worse than what we're already prepared for and what the governor has proposed to do about it. We may need these fee increases before we go home. To me, it sounds a lot better than an across-the-board tax increase. I would encourage you to at least keep this vehicle in play keep our options open. We're early in the session. I agree. Let's take a deep breath, keep our options up in the air, and keep this alive as well. Please vote yes on House Bill 1069. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you. I guess the sponsor was the Secretary of State's office, but can I still ask a question of the sponsor? Is there someone that could answer? What I'm wondering is the...
Representative Nygaard, since Secretary of State is not here, why don't you ask your question, and I will direct it to someone if they wish to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You're welcome.
The question being, for example, I see we've raised the fees for lobbyists and notaries, and I just wanted to know what those raises amounted to.
So your question, sir, if I could repeat it, is the amount of money that's being raised from the notary public fee increases.
And the lobbyist fee.
And the lobbyist fee increases. Is there any member of the body wish to answer that question? Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I will answer that question. It's an approximate number, but for lobbyists and notaries, it's about $14,000 of new general fund dollars.
Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you. My question was specifically, what is the, not the amount raised, but is the fee going from $30 to $50? Is it going from 10 to 20? What is the specific raise per individual?
So another question, sir, is that?
Another question for
someone.
Honorable.
Does someone wish to answer the question that the difference in the fee increases?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Tiedemann.
I will answer the question. It's $5.
Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
So it's just a $5 increase across the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks, House Bill 1069. Any further remarks? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, in addition to the points made by the proponents so far, I would just offer this. I'm one of the least likely people to embrace fee increases, but at this, with regard to this bill, the Secretary of State's office has given a handout showing the last time that certain fees had been addressed. One of those fees goes back clear to 1995. Some had been updated in 2000, 2001. Regardless of the budgetary situation, I would submit that this bill would be before us anyway. And frankly, if not for the budgetary situation, probably wouldn't be a hot potato at this time. I don't believe that the fee increases are inordinate, and I would ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the body. This bill isn't here because they need that money to do the work in the Secretary of State's office, except for one little small portion of it, and that pertains to another bill. This is here just to raise more revenue. And I do think we have plenty of time to look at other things and other options before the first thing we do is just start raising fees. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1069. Any further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1069. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker rules simple majority. This is clearly a fee that goes into the general fund. It is not a special appropriation. Simple majority.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 47, nays 22, excused 1.
House Bill 1069, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed approved.
House Bill 1018 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1018, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this actually, House Bill 1018 is in response to 1069, in conjunction with 1069. It has been brought forth to us by the Secretary of State's office. And really, the bill, the meat of the bill is in Section 3. What this does, let me give you a little history. The title of the bill states that this is going to appropriate a portion of the annual report filing fee paid by entities to be deposited in the financial statement and annual report filing fee fund. Let me give you an example. For example, myself, I own two businesses. They're both LLCs. Every year, the Secretary of State sends me a nice little envelope, and it says you need to send back your annual report and $50 and tell me what your corporation is and who your members are and what you, if you're still in business and what you're still doing. I have to do that for both of my businesses. That is a financial and annual report filing fee, and I pay that each fee for each of my businesses, each of my LLCs. That gets sent back, and that money, as a business owner, I have to pay. That goes into the general fund. So I understand what those fee increases were in 1069, and I approve of those as a business owner because I know our state government has to operate and to make it efficient. This bill is in response to making our government more efficient. There are 56,000 filing fees out there that are filed every year. 56,000 of them. 56,000 small businesses, LLCs, LLPs, and nonprofits out there. We have five people in the Secretary of State's office that tries to manage these this paperwork coming in. They gave us a great visual in the Commerce Committee. They rolled in a shopping cart full and stack of paperwork in one day that they receive in these. Out of the 56,000, they rolled in a shopping cart and they said, here's one day's worth of those filing fees. And they're trying to utilize five people to go through those. They take it, open the envelope, get the check out and put it in and submit it in paperwork writing. What 1018 does is take a portion of the money that I've spent as a business owner, that $50 fee, takes $3 of it and puts it into a separate fund that they're creating to make and create a new software development. The software development is going to happen to help create and make the Secretary of State's operation more efficiently. So that way they don't have to come to us next year, the following year, and say, I need more people. We're just growing government then. We don't want to do that. We need to get more efficient. So this way the software will be able to allow I, as a business owner, to do this online and be able to utilize a credit card fee or to do my paperwork automatically online. It'll automatically update every year itself. So they send it to me via email. I type in, everything is okay, the same, send it back. What happens now is if something's wrong, such as myself, when I filled out the paperwork one year, I got it sent back to me. So sometimes when there's mistakes, they have the cumbersome act of having to send it back to the business owner, and they have to redo it and resend the check, and they send back the check you wrote, and you have to rip it up and resend another one. So it's very, very cumbersome. It just doesn't make any sense. So we want to make our government more efficient and the Secretary of State's office more efficient. So what this does is take that $3 out of the bill or the money I've sent in and creates a software development that we're going to help and get going here in the next 3 years and update it so that we can do it quick and easily online. They can check the errors more efficiently. They have the immediate filing so that we will continue to be in good standing as a corporation. And of course, there's an immediate deposit into the general fund. This also tells us that we'll be able to probably decrease the Secretary of State's general fund dollars by 17% to make themselves more efficient. Again, North Dakota has the same operation and they're utilizing 9 people versus South Dakota having only 5 people. We're trying to make our government more efficient. This will help that. We can utilize those people in other areas instead of having to add more staff. We can let the software do that and make it more efficient. We know every year there's going to be more and more LLPs and LLCs filing. So please encourage all of you to support 1018 for the fact of making our government more efficient for the Secretary of State's office development of software.
Thank you, Representative. For the remarks, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
In the last bill, you said in this bill that a dollar from the last bill was going into the second, or $3 was going into the Secretary of State's office. But in the last bill, we said it was all going to go into the general fund. I'm wondering about the discrepancy in that.
Representative Krebs, do you wish to answer that question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
If you look at the bill statement, my good friend from Beetle County, it does say here in the House Bill 1018, it's an act to actually require. So we are in this bill creating a portion of the fund to be deposited in a new filing fee fund. So we're creating a new fund in House Bill 1018. I should say not a new fund. A portion of that funds. Let's go back. Secretary of State's office already has a statement filing fee fund where they all come into the kitty. Right now, that filing fee fund that trickles over into the general fund, right now this will give it, allow it to put, keep $3 of it into this so we can track it and create a software development.
Representative Byrd, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much. And that's the point of my argument, that the last bill maybe should have taken a two-thirds, because not all the money is going into the general fund. Thank you.
Thank you for the remarks on House Bill 1018. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this bill. As part of my law practice, I form dozens of these entities every year. And as much as I'm not relishing the comments I'm going to receive from comments about the passage of the previous bill, I am looking forward to be able to share with them the positive impact of this bill. I do filings regularly in other states, and it is so nice to be able to do those online. Rather than my clients having to send me the report they filled out incorrectly or asking me to fill out a report, this bill will allow them to do this online. It's efficient. It's clearly something that needs to be done, and we're way behind the curve on this nationally. So I would encourage your support, if for no other reason than to facilitate business in this and commerce in this state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too want to rise in support of the House Bill 1018, and just to report that in 1991, there were just a little over 20,000 filings that were dumped on the Secretary of State's office, and now it's nearly triple that. And in that time period, the Secretary of State's office has reduced their workforce by over three FTEs and have remained constant at that level since the year 2000. So I want to applaud in this great body what a great job our Secretary of State is doing with that. And I too want to echo the concerns of efficient filing over the internet. I too do that in other states for compliance with different things. And we do have to move to this level of compliance. We can't continue to have paper filings sent into this great state. We're behind the times. I urge your support of this bill and to vote green on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, House Bill 1018. Hearing no further remarks, the question for our South Dakota House of Representatives, final consideration of House Bill 1018. All those in favor will vote aye, those opposed nay. Clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Speaker rules two-thirds on this, as it is a fee going into a special fund.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 2.
House Bill 1018, having received a two-thirds majority vote, the members elect is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed approved.
House Bill 1086, an act to provide for and to require the attachment of an affidavit in certain garnishment proceedings. And Representative Lust moves that House Bill 1086 be deferred to Wednesday, January 28th, the 11th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries.
House Bill 1049, an act to revise certain provisions regarding captive insurance companies. And Representative Rounds moves that House Bill 1049 be deferred to Wednesday, January 28th, the 11th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Rounds motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries.
House Bill 1055, an act to authorize the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks to sell certain real property located at the Cleghorn Fish Hatchery to the City of Rapid City.
House Bill 1055, having had its second readings of consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today in support of House Bill 1055 and encourage the members of this body to do the same. It's a little bit of a story that comes with this bill, and I'll give you the shortened version. Essentially, several years ago, one of the main water sources for the city of Rapid City, the Jackson Springs Gallery, had to be closed due to compliance issues with the EPA. What we have before us today is just a part of the piece of the puzzle to allow the city of Rapid City to use a readily available water source to further its needs for the future of water needs as well as its current needs. The Jackson Spring Gallery is on the western part of town on Rapid City, on Rapid Creek, near the fish hatchery, if you've ever been out that way. GF&P owns approximately 5 acres of land right near and on, frankly, the Jackson Springs Gallery. As part of the project to build a new water treatment plant, the city needs this property. It's going to pump water from the Jackson Springs Gallery to a treatment facility a short distance away from the gallery. And this property is not only on that gallery, but in between where it needs to be pumped to the treatment facility. Customarily, if GF&P wanted to sell property, it would need to go through a procedure whereby it would declare the land excess and then put it up for bid. In this instance, and this what this bill does, is allows a departure from that procedure for this very important reason. If this land were put up for bid, it is likely that someone could come in and buy that land at whatever price, and then essentially hold the water treatment project hostage. And the city would really have to pay almost any price for that land. And this bill allows us to use a more simplified procedure by letting the Game Fish and Parks, in a very public process, have an appraiser come in, declare the value of the property, and then sell that property to the city of Rapid City for this critical project. So with that, I would ask that you support this procedure and help Rapid City address its water needs now and in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1055. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also support House Bill 1055 and urge this body to also support it. It should be noted that Rapid City has good water now. There's no contamination. It's the EPA coming in and suggesting that it's potentially possible in the future given the current situation. So it's going to result in Rapid City and having to spend millions of dollars. But this is the first step in the process, so please help us move that along. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the committee member that is unfortunately carrying this bill on the floor.
State your question, sir.
Representative Lust, this is creating a fund in the Secretary of State's or wherever we're going to hold this money. Will we as a legislative body be consulted when that money is then expended from that account?
Representative Lust, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Certainly.
Thank you.
To provide a little background to the source of this question for those who were not in state affairs yesterday, there was a bill brought that would have required the GF&P to seek legislative approval to purchase 20 acres of land or more. So, and my fine and esteemed colleague from Vivian was a sponsor of that bill, and it rightfully went down resoundingly. So I'm assuming the question is in that vein, and to answer the specific question, the funds where this will go, the GF&P funds, will be, it's my understanding, be used to actually purchase additional property on the outskirts of Rapid City for the outdoor campus for GF&P. I hope that's a responsible answer to your question, Representative Junkie.
Representative Junkie, you still have the floor, sir.
I feel I'm going to have to restate the question.
Restate your question.
It's actually, I misstated. It is in the Department of the State Treasury. Will, before that, those funds are spent out of that account,
come back through this legislative body. Representative Lust, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No.
Representative Junkie, you still have the floor, sir.
I admire your honesty. Well, I'm going to support this. Rapid City needs this. And this is an issue that's been ongoing since the years I've been here. Unfortunately, this is the first one I've ever, and I respect the Game Fish and Parks bringing it and circumventing some of the issues that they need to deal with this land. But they, when they want to sell land, they probably don't have to come here. The good esteemed member from District 2034 went through the process. But also now we're not going to have any control. We're going to approve this sale through this body, through the other body, and they're going to be put in a fund in the state treasurer's office, and they're going to expend it for another property that they also need. So we're an in-between that we have no say on what land they purchase. So this is a needed bill. It's just an issue that is going to be ongoing with this department with me as long as I've been here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you for the remarks. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the sponsor, please.
State your question, sir, please.
Has this land already been appraised? Has both parcels of land been appraised? And is it just one of those deals where it's equal money swapped, or how does this work?
Representative Lust, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Representative Berg. The, I'll call it the replacement property, has been appraised, and the actual purchase price is far less than the appraised value. This bill allows for essentially an appraisal procedure that differs from the normal bid process. So this land has not yet been appraised, will be appraised, and purchased, and then the proceeds used to purchase land that has been appraised.
So if I could
follow Representative Berg, you have the floor, sir.
So we don't know if there's going to be more money need to come up one way or another, and because we've only appraised one parcel of land. So if there's excess monies that come to the Fish and Game, will that revert back to them?
Representative Lust, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Yes, sir. And Representative Berg, I appreciate the question. I don't know this for a fact, but this is a five-acre parcel of land. The replacement property being purchased by GF&P is much larger. So I'm confident in saying that this land will not realize the entire purchase price of the replacement property.
Representative Berg, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much. And I, too, am going to support this. I just sometimes I get a little queasy when we have these kind of transfers going on, and we don't know all the details of how they are, but yet we're voting on it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further questions on House Bill 1055? Representative Sorensen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't oppose the sale. My question is why are we buying 20 acres of additional land at a time when I'm getting 30 emails a day to people who have to explain why the Arts Council was cut, why their school programs are being cut, and so forth. My problem with the bill is how we're spending the money, and not in the sale itself. Thank you.
Thank you for the remarks on House Bill 1055. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1055. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Speaker rules 2/3, ladies and gentlemen. And just to clarify, the funds are credited to the Treasury but will be deposited in a special fund, the GF&P fund. So being deposited in a special fund, 2/3.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 66, nays 4.
House Bill 1055, having received a 2/3 majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1097, an act to provide for certain filing fees and surcharges in certain civil cases and to provide exemptions in certain cases.
House Bill 1097, having had a second reading, for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you once again, members of the body. House Bill 1097 comes to us as a result of the work of the Commission on Equal Access to Justice, which this legislature authorized last year as part of our ongoing efforts to provide equal access to justice in our courts. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the saying that justice delayed is justice denied. Unfortunately, for 40% of those at 125% of the poverty level who seek legal services, justice is not only delayed, it is completely denied. That's because of the reduction of federal monies that traditionally have fed these type of programs over the last 30 years. Today, federal funding for legal services is at about one-third of what it was 25 years ago. The access to legal services has not improved for South Dakotans, despite the efforts of 70% of the state bar who engage in pro bono work, and the state bar and state bar foundation who contribute $150,000 per year to this cause. 47 states provide some sort of funding toward equal access to the courts for civil legal services. 40 states use fees to do that. That's what House Bill 1097 will do. House Bill 1097 collects a modest filing fee for users of the court seeking modifications to orders of child support, custody, visitation, and spousal support. I urge your support in joining the efforts to provide equal access to justice in our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cutler, for the remarks on House Bill 1097. Representative Dennard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question on the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Cutler, on page 2, line 11, subsection 4, I have a little concern for this fee increase at this particular time. We're looking at a fee increase or a new fee for motions to modify child support order, custody orders, visitation orders, and so on. I think there's one more, spousal support orders. My question, Representative Cutler, in this time of economic stress across the country and in South Dakota, this fee looks a little excessive due to the people that might be laid off of their jobs, and they're going to have to file for a modification of child support, and then they're also going to have to pay a fee. Would you respond to that particular and give an answer as to that particular $50 fee at this time due to the economy? Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Cutler, do you wish to answer the question, ma'am?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Representative Dennard. Actually, if you'll look on page 5 of the bill on lines 13 and 14, we already have a statutory provision that provides waiver of any fees for those who can't pay it.
Representative Dennard, you have the floor, sir.
Well, thank you, Representative Cutler, for that answer. I just, I guess I read the bill and was wondering if that particular section took care of the waiver for the people in this particular case or just other cases. But thank you for the answer, and we'll stand by, and thank you for your response.
Thank you, sir. Further questions on House Bill 1097? Representative Nygaard, do you have something to say, sir?
If I can just find my speaker button, I'll find it. Thanks. Question of the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
And the question is that fee now raised to $50 or $60? What is it at right now?
Representative Cutler, do you wish to answer that question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Presently, we do not have a filing fee. We have an original filing fee for divorce cases, and that is the only fee you pay. So in subsequent modifications, users of the court have had to pay nothing.
Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you, sir, and I'd like to ask one more question of the sponsor.
State your follow-up question, sir.
Follow-up question is, what is that fee amount? I don't have that in front of me.
Representative Cutler, do you wish to answer that question?
I don't have it in front of me either. Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. I don't have it in front of me either, Representative Nygaard, but I think this fee that the commission chose, the amount, this fee amount is they did this with a lot of study of what other states use and with regard to what the original filing fee in the divorce matter would be.
Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you, sir. By way of just extending the question to the rest of the body, I intend to vote for this, but I would like to get at the, are we talking $100, $50, $20? What is that fee? Because the representative from Brown and Spink County brings up a good point. Is anybody on the floor could answer that for me?
Representative Dennard, I think that's a question. If you want to take a stab at it, sir, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page two, got to find the page again. Why can't I find it? It's $50, Representative, is the fee that applies to the area that I was concerned about for modifying court orders is the area that I had the most concern. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Nygaard, you still have the floor.
Thank you for that answer, and that answers my question. $50 to file for a reduction in child support if you lost your job might, in fact, save you hundreds of dollars each week or month, however it's arranged. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on House Bill 1097. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the South Dakota House of Representatives is final consideration of House Bill 1097. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker rules two-thirds as all of these fees are going to a special fund.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, nays 3.
House Bill 1097, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1103, an act to revise certain provisions regarding limited partnerships and limited liability companies related to the rights of judgment creditors.
House Bill 1103, having had its second reading up for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Bob Fain.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we defer House Bill 1103 and the remainder of today's calendar until Wednesday, the 11th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Fain motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Being no objection, we'll revert to order of business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Retirement Laws respectfully reports that it has deferred House Bill 1012 to the 41st legislative day. Respectfully, Tim Rounds, Chair.
Announcements. Speaker. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and for the members of the House Appropriations Committee, as well as the senators, if they're listening, we have been invited to the new DCI building here in Pierre for a tour immediately following the adjournments of each house. So I would cordially ask anyone, if they didn't get to the tour the other day, to think about driving out there, and we're going to have the tour immediately after the adjournment. Thank you, Mr. Leader.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A reminder, tomorrow morning, Catacombs Caucus, Governor's Large Conference Room on the second floor at 7 o'clock. You're all invited. Catacombs Caucus. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 7:45 in room 414.
Further announcements. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Representative Ironcloud.
Yeah, I'd just like to invite all the colleagues and guests to tomorrow. We'll be having the, I believe, the Native American Day at the Rotunda, and I believe it's in the morning, and so I want to encourage all of you to come down and see some of the Native and non-Native constituents, and hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the Democratic post-session meeting will be held at 345 in room 499. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another reminder, and that's at Judiciary Committee tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further announcements? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wouldn't normally announce.
Oh, you're off.
It is again. Kind of a big deal.
Quiet down, ladies and gentlemen.
This is coming from a lifelong ardent Cubs fan, but I would remind those of you who maybe have heard of this, the Twins Caravan, the Twins Winter Caravan is in town tonight and be featuring Tony Oliva, Denard Spann, Jason Kubel, and Fox Sportsnet's Dick Bramer. They're at the National Guard Armory at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further announcements? Representative McLaughlin.
A second announcement, House Education at tomorrow morning, 7:45.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Hearing no further announcements, Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.